Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 128 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Ryan Davis. I'm here, as always, with Sean Sears, both writers for NBC Sports Chicago and then several other places. So the Cubs didn't have the best weekend. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the unfortunate Yu Darvish news. We'll talk about what other players might be out there if they need to find another starting pitcher, if there are any players, and then we'll do our usual around the NL Central in our final segment. But before we get to all that, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good. I'm a little sleepy. I've had a four-day weekend because I had a wedding this weekend, so it's been a lot of running around doing random things. So waking up at 9 this morning was a little bit harder than I thought it would be, but also I'm complaining about waking up at 9, so I can't complain too much.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm actually like, I woke up at about 6:45, and I actually am like kind of grateful that I have to start waking up early. Today was the first day of school for my daughter, so I'm like, now instead of rolling out at like 8:45, I have to wake up a couple hours earlier, but I've been more productive today, so that's good, right?
I mean, I wish I was more productive today. so that's great.
Well, that's a good lead in for the Cubs. Maybe they need to wake up earlier and be a little more productive, right?
That's probably the way to start it.
So the Cubs split in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. When you look at it this way, the Pirates are a 500 team. You're on the road against them. Splitting the four games really isn't the worst case scenario. It would have been nice to take three of four, but really they split and they're lucky that they did. They scored one run in every single game. They hit a solo home run in every single game. So it was one swing to put a run on the board and then nothing else. They won the first two games 1-0, which was amazing in and of itself. And then they lost the Tyler Chatwood game 3-1. He was starting in place of Mike Montgomery. They had every opportunity to pull out a win in Sunday's game, but they lost in an 2-1 in extra innings on a walk-off home run. So the Cubs have scored 23 runs in their last 10 games, and 8 of them came in one game. So that tells you how the offense has been doing. There's 2 shutouts in there. There are 4 straight one-run games. Cubs start a short 2-game set with the Detroit Tigers. Kyle Hendricks goes back to the mound against Jordan Zimmermann. The former Washington Nationals pitcher allowed 6 earned runs in 5 innings in his last game out against the White Sox. While Hendricks has been better lately, but still has had a few ugly stat lines lately. Last time he allowed 4 earned runs in 6 innings, but looked better than the line. So Cubs are 2-0 against Detroit this year. The Tigers are a bad baseball team. I'm looking up their record as we speak, but I'm pretty sure they are in fourth place. No, I'm sorry. They're in third place. They're 4 games ahead of the White Sox, 51-74. I think specifically lately, it's also been pretty bad. So this is a series they should be able to win. Yeah. They just finished a 4-game set in Minnesota where they lost 3 of 4, and then they lost 2 of 3 to the White Sox before that. So they are 1-5 in their last 6 games.
Yeah, I know. Like recently, they were on at some point like a 6-game losing streak before that as well too. So yeah, they've been bad. Which no surprise, the AL Central is not very good this year. So I mean, the Cubs should, yeah, all intents and purposes, should win this. But you know, they probably should have won a couple games if they haven't. So it's really it's going to be interesting to see who shows up this week.
Yeah, and I mean, Jordan Zimmermann hasn't had a great season, but he's not a bum, you know, like he's been hurt for a couple years and his performance was down, but on the year, 17 starts, 88 2/3 innings. He's only walking 1.6 batters per 9. He's striking out almost 8 per 9. He has an ERA of 4.36. So this is a guy who can beat you. You're not going out there and getting, you know, just any old guy, you know, some like replacement level AAA guy. This is a guy who can actually throw a good game, and especially against a team that just doesn't score runs, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, he's had really good moments. He's never been a big strikeout guy necessarily, but it seems like since he came to the Tigers, he's just been somehow like way, way worse than I think people expect him to be. I don't know. I mean, I know he's got like, what, he's only had, has he had 17 starts this year? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like he's a little bit lower than some of the other guys. I know he spent some time in AAA this year. 4.63 ERA, FIP about the same. So I mean, he's not going to walk you. He might throw some strikeouts, but really, you know, he just can be an effective pitcher in moments. So I would not be surprised to see him have a really good game against the Cubs, because the Cubs are making a lot of pitchers look really good right now.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if I said that that's today. That's tomorrow. I should have said that earlier. I see now in my notes that I wrote today, but that was probably just because I was up at 6:45 and a little groggy when I wrote that down. But tomorrow, the Cubs play the Tigers. They have another one of their final days off today.
Woo! So much rest.
But yeah, so I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts? I mean, this is kind of a short segment, but do you have any more thoughts on the Cubs offense? I mean, it's just hard to put it into words without just kind of, you know, beating ourselves over the head with it.
Yeah, I mean, like the issue really is, like we've talked about this last couple weeks, it's been super apparent in this Pirate series. The Cubs are getting hits. They just aren't pushing runs across. You know, like they've had a couple like five hit, six hit, seven hit games where they only score one run, no runs. I mean, not necessarily in this Pirate series, but it just seems like they can get runners on, they can string like a couple base hits together, but after that, they don't do much. Or like maybe someone leads the inning off with the double and then they strand them at second. Or maybe they get them over the third and they can't push them through. It just seems like that's the case right now. So I don't know if they're just not slugging the ball well, or if they're just popping balls through or getting their walks and moments and then not able to execute. So I don't really know what it is. It's tough to really point out, but you would have to think at some point this Cubs offense has to figure it out. They're still one of the top offensive teams in all of baseball, and pretty much every statistical category that you look at to show if there's a good offense. So I mean, the numbers say that they'll eventually pull together. We just keep talking about, you know, it's gonna be tough if the Cubs don't pull together now and not in a week or two.
Yeah, eventually they do have to pull it together. You're right. Like I said, Zimmerman on the mound tomorrow. The next game, it's Francisco Liriano, another guy who's been around. The Cubs have seen him over his last, I think, 11 games. He has a 6.25 ERA. So he has not been good. This is a two-game set where, because you split in Pittsburgh, it would be nice to take both against a team that's not playing well. Against a team that's completely out of it, you know, has two guys going who, you know, are veterans but are also beatable. It's not like you're getting you know, Garrett Cole or one of those guys. Like you're not getting a star out on the mound. So these are two games that it would be nice to see the Cubs like bounce back, score, give me four runs. You know, I'm not even talking about a breakout here. Four runs is kind of a paltry, mediocre day. It's not like the worst thing in the world, but I think it should be enough to win. So give me four runs.
Yeah, I would take, I mean, just more than one. give yourself more than one. But, you know, hey, we're not picky here. Just, you know, if you can score some runs, we'll be happy.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our second segment. We'll talk a little bit about some injury news with the Cubs. So the bad news yesterday wasn't necessarily the 2-1 loss. That stung. That was kind of the insult to injury. No pun intended there. But Yu Darvish, all the positivity going to the mound, finally doing that rehab thing in South Bend. He was going to go three innings, about 50 pitches, and he pitched one inning. He allowed like a hit and a walk. He struck out one, I think. I was watching it on game day. He looked like he was locating for the most part. I heard that he was hitting 94, 95 with his fastball. But then he came out to warm up for the second inning. I think he threw like five or six pitches. His last one was a curveball, shaking his arm a little bit. Trainer came out. Darvish left the game. He said afterwards that he had the same pain in his elbow, I assume elbow. I don't think he specifically said it, but the same pain in his arm that he did the last time he had a rehab start in South Bend. So now he's going to have an MRI. I don't think it's official or anything, but so it can't rule anything out, but it just seems very likely that he will not be pitching again for the Cubs this year. The worry for me at this point is that it might be something worse than this. It might be something worse than just an elbow impingement and more rest needed, and the fact that they won't have enough time at this point to get him back out there. For me, I'm worried about a surgery that might be a long rehab and then missing either a chunk or a big portion of next season.
Yeah, that's what you have to worry about at this point. Because, I mean, this is MRI number three for Darvish, and the first two showed nothing. I know Epstein said last week pretty much that if Darvish didn't make it through this rehab start, if he didn't perform well, it was pretty much his season. So, you know, we'll see what comes out. Maybe it's nothing serious. Maybe it's just Darvish has to, you know, understand there's going to be some pain. Maybe, I don't know. You don't want to push it. He's definitely in control of his rehab at this point, which is very obvious since he's the one that called for the MRI, the third MRI. So it's definitely an irregular rehab. It has been this whole year. But, you know, if Darvish doesn't feel right and he's going out there and trying to pitch and warming up and feeling like something isn't correct, you know, you got to trust the guy knows something's wrong. I think at this point, you invested 6 years in this guy, over $100 million. You listen to him. So yeah, that's what the concern should be. Like you said, you have to be worried at this point about, can he be effective for next season? Because right now the Cubs aren't in a fantastic spot, but they do have options. They do have four starters you can go into the postseason with right now. Three of them are pitching relatively well. Quintana has his moments. You've got Mike Montgomery, hopefully, when he comes back. Maybe Drew Smiley's an option. That seems like a long shot. But you don't absolutely need Darvish. It just would have been really nice to have a guy who could miss some bats and throw 96.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. I'm trying to remain, not necessarily remain optimistic, but keep the optimistic keep the optimistic avenue open. So there's still a chance he could come back this year. We don't know for sure that anything specifically is wrong. I don't think the Cubs are necessarily going to push him to say, okay, so there's nothing structurally wrong. Maybe you need like a cleanup surgery, like a lot of pitchers have. Maybe you need a cleanup surgery in the offseason, but maybe the doctors say, until then, you know, you're going to have pain, but you could pitch through it and it'd be fine. Maybe Darvish says he wants to do that. I would not be pushing him to do that because I don't think it's right to push players to pitch through like elbow pain when they're a Tommy John survivor. So yeah, there is some optimism that he, you know, I know there's a perception that he doesn't want to come back and he doesn't want to pitch. I had people tweeting at me saying that they think he essentially just heisted $126 million and is faking an injury at this point so that he doesn't have to pitch again because of that, you know, LA Times article last year that said he was considering retirement or moving back to Japan. That's all ridiculous. So he does want to get back out there. You know, when I was in St. Louis, he was visibly excited about the fact that, you know, he had made changes that had gotten rid of the pain that he was throwing with. So who knows, maybe they just find that he had gotten out of his mechanics again and was throwing in a way that was causing pain in his arm.
Yeah, for that, I mean, that's really what it's ridiculous to think this guy doesn't want to come out here and be there for the Cubs, especially, you know, with this team being so good. I mean, so good. I say that with air quotes, which is great radio. you know, like he clearly wants to be playing for this team. This team's winning. They're doing fantastic. They're, you know, they're despite all the shortcomings they're having, they're still 3.5 up in their division. You know, they still are 21 games over 500, 20 games over 500, something like that. 2021, blah, 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 you know, whatever.
19, but yeah.
Yeah, they're still you know, a massive, you know, double lead or double digits on their, you know, win total compared to the losses. I mean, this is a good team that's competing for a playoff championship or playoff chance, and, you know, hopefully another championship. And, you know, Darvish would have to be crazy not to want to be part of that, I'd say. So I think it's safe to assume he wants to be here. I think it's pretty ridiculous to question something like that. But yeah, like you said, I mean, I shared my article yesterday just basically saying Darvish got hurt yesterday, and the response to it was just incredibly ridiculous with some of the people just demanding, like, oh, Yu Darvish, he's the worst. Yu Darvish, he's a bitch. Yu Darvish, he's a blah, blah. It's just like, oh my God, like, the guy is hurt. Like, you know, like, you're just upset the Cubs paid him a lot of money to be good and he hasn't done that yet. And I understand that, but, you know, what are you even doing? Like, you know nothing. You're just spewing bullshit on Twitter. I don't know.
The other thing is people were bringing up Verlander was dealt on August 31st last year, and people are saying maybe there's a Verlander out there for the Cubs. That was kind of a special circumstance where Verlander had money left on his contract that people didn't want to necessarily pick up. So he made it all the way to the Astros on the waiver wire, and then they cut the deal. I don't see any Verlanders out there for the Cubs. If it's an American League pitcher, right now the Cubs would be last in priority. And then if it's a National League pitcher, they would be 15th in priority. But the point is every single National League would be able to grab somebody ahead of them. So it's not good odds. Is there a guy like that, though, that could be dealt? The only one I could think of is Matt Harvey. And he doesn't have that kind of money left.
Matt Harvey's interesting. I guess if you really wanted to try and add someone, Jordan Zimmermann could potentially make sense. Like he said, the Cubs have the last rights or waiver wires, and of course, when it's an American League team, so every team in baseball would have a chance to at least sniff at Jordan Zimmermann before the Cubs really brought him on. Plus, he's owed, I think, $50 million over the next 2 years.
That's not a guy you want to have to be chasing.
Exactly, and especially with how dramatic of a downturn he's had in his career, and went from being a guy with close to a 5.3 WAR to not even coming close to that again. He's not necessarily the guy you look at and be like, all right, yeah, change of scenery, especially when he's owed $50 billion. So it doesn't seem like Matt Harvey's probably the best option at that regard. That being said, I don't know if Matt Harvey really gives you much more than Mike Montgomery could. Maybe Harvey, his pedigree's better. He does throw harder. He has been doing a little bit better since he's got to Cincinnati, but he's still not fantastic. I don't know. There's no one out there. There's no Justin Verlander clear cut. Like, this guy is a stud, actually, and just having, a tough time playing for a poor team. But maybe the Cubs find one. I'd love to see it, but I feel like at this point you're probably – looking at Dwayne Underwoods and James Norwoods as opposed to, Jordan Zimmermann's or Matt Harvey's.
Yeah. And that's really the unfortunate thing is that there really, I don't think there is anybody out there. I'm looking at other guys like Jake Odorizzi, who just signed with the Twins. That's a guy who has not been pitching well lately. He's only been getting worse. So, and another American League guy. The other point is a guy like Harvey or a guy like Zimmermann or Odorizzi, any of these guys, if they get placed on waivers and it gets to the Cubs, the Brewers are ahead of them in priority for everybody, and they also would like a starting pitcher still, I think. So a guy like Harvey, who doesn't have a ton of money and it's just a one-year thing, I don't think he even gets past the Brewers if he gets that far. So it's hard to see the Cubs making a waiver wire deal for anybody who has any kind of real impact.
Yeah, they're just not in the right position for it, which, that's fine. You aren't playing baseball to be in really good waiver wire position, clearly. That's not the goal here. The plan is if you need something, you get it before the trade deadline, usually, or the non-waiver trade deadline. There's options, and the Cubs could look into it, but I don't see anyone that makes a ton of sense that's going to make a massive impact at this moment.
Yeah, last thing on this segment, speaking of players that are injured, Addison Russell. This guy, I think Joe Maddon said that he's trying to play through a middle finger injury, I guess. To insert your jokes here about Addison Russell and the middle finger. But I don't understand why they just don't DL him then. Like, if he's injured and he's trying to play through it, and the stats look like what they look like, what's he doing still out there?
Right. It doesn't make any sense. Like, especially when, you're in a postseason race, you're in a division race. Like, you need to make sure the guys you have on the roster can contribute. And if we're really just waiting to see if Russell can figure it out, just put him on the 10-day DL. Like, it's just 2 weeks. If even you can make a retroactive to a couple days ago when he didn't play, like, just put him on there. Try Javi and David Bodie or whoever you want to do it with, and just run with that for a moment, because he's not adding much offensively. And now if his defense is going to start to suffer from this injury, like, why are we just trotting out a half injured Addison Russell who wasn't very good when healthy? I don't know.
Yeah, and it could be lack of better options, I guess. It's not like they have a Gleyber Torres knocking on the door at AAA or anything like that. Sorry if that was a cheap shot. they do have a guy named Jason Vosler, who he played at Tennessee last year. He started with Tennessee this year. He's up in AAA now. He basically has one tool, and that's power. He also can play a whole bunch of different positions. I always thought of him as a first baseman or a third baseman, which is kind of, he's been mostly third base this year for both Tennessee and Iowa. But looking at his numbers and his baseball reference page, he also has played some second base and even some shortstop in his career. Most of, I think pretty much all of his shortstop time was in like Boise in 2014. So I'm guessing he's not a shortstop at all anymore. But he started twice in Tennessee at second base this year. So this is a guy who has some positional flexibility. It's not a guy that I think would be, you know, a guy that you want to put at shortstop or second base. But if you're looking at the depth chart and you bring him up and you DL Addison Russell, you've got Baez at short, you've got Bodie at short, and then you've got him as essentially your third shortstop. And I think same thing for second base. You've got Baez, who could play second, although he'd probably be at shortstop. Then you've got Bodie, who could play second. You've got Zobrist, who could play second. You've got Ian Happ, who can play second. And then you've also got Fosler. So it basically, offense is what they need right now. If you were to DL Addison Russell, I think Fosler is not on the 40-man, so you'd have to be put on there, so you'd have to get creative. But this is a guy that I think that, you know, maybe he comes up and gets a couple spot starts and pinch hits in a few situations. And maybe he hits a home run and has that kind of like flash in the pan, first hit the big leagues and nobody knows how to get him out kind of thing. But really that's like, you know, trying to hang your hat on basically nothing at this point, calling up a non-prospect and just hoping he hits well. That speaks to where the Cubs are offensively.
Yeah, my thought is at least he gives you some lefty power on your bench. If like maybe Kyle Schwarber and everyone is in the lineup, like at least, you know, you have Tommy Lestel, who's a great pinch hitter, but then you have Jason Bosler, who, you know, has 20 home runs on the season and, you know, split between double A and triple A. So, I mean, you know, at least you've got pop. At least you got a guy that can kind of give you some position flexibility and, you know, you're not completely screwed necessarily, but I don't know. The Cubs are very, it seems like, I know Russell, he likes the defense that he adds, and, you know, his bat has moments where it can show plenty of pop and be there. We've seen it before, but yeah, it just hasn't reflected that this season. And if he's hurt, he was already struggling. Like, what are we doing? Let's let him sit, let him take a moment. Maybe he comes back and he's feeling better and, you know, ready to come at the season, and maybe it changes him instead of just forcing him to struggle through injury that, I mean, I guess a middle finger injury isn't super like devastating, but it's definitely something that lingers, and it's definitely something that affects you, both your hitting and your fielding. So
yeah, all right, well, let's stop talking about all the injury problems that the Cubs have, because there are no solutions at this point. Let's go to our final segment. We'll talk a little bit about the NL Central. So the Cardinals remain hot, but the good news for the Cubs, amazing that this is good news, the Brewers won on Sunday. When was the last time that was good news? They salvaged a game against the Cardinals in their three-game set. They beat St. Louis 2-1 behind Julio Chacin, who suddenly is like the greatest pitcher in the world. The Reds beat the San Francisco Giants 7-1 behind Matt Harvey's 6 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Cincinnati has won 3 in a row. The Cubs obviously lost to the Pirates. So NL Central standings, the Cubs are 71-52. Milwaukee is 69-57. They're 3.5 back, which is the biggest lead in the National League still. St. Louis is 68-57 and 4 back. Pittsburgh is 63-62. They're 9 back. And the Reds are 55-69. They're 16.5 games back. So the Cardinals really remain the story of the NL Central. They are back in the thick of things. They're in the wild card chase as well. They're only 4 games out in the division. You would have to assume at some point they're going to cool off, but until it actually happens, it's a little bit unnerving.
Yeah, they're on quite a tear right now. I sent you that tweet from Jeff Passan last night. They're like, I think 7 teams right now currently in like true play for a postseason spot right now, and not even including the Cubs. So, I mean, like, it's going to be tight, and there's some teams that are really pushing towards the end here. I know, like the Dodgers are 2 games back in their division right now. Colorado's just a half game back or now you go. or maybe just about 2 weeks ago, the Dodgers were leading that division. So there's a lot of bouncing back and forth. Atlanta, Philly, Washington's probably a lost cause at this point, being a game under 500. So things are starting to shape up, but there's also not a ton of clarity. And with how close the NL Central standings are, and or how close the standings are in the entire National League, it's going to be interesting to see who makes these the final cut for the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, right now your wild cards are looks like Colorado and Philadelphia are your two wild card teams. I think the Brewers might be a half game back, or they might be tied.
I think St. Louis is a half game back. Dodgers are a game and a half back, but Colorado, Philly, all tied right now, because I think Rockies and Phillies have one less loss. The Brewers have one more win than them.
Oh yeah, so yeah, they're essentially tied, and yeah, St. Louis is a half game back. Dodgers 1.5 back. So you've got five teams vying for wild card spots, and all five teams are still in their division races. So yeah, this is really stacking up to be a fun finish for the National League and the National League Central. It was just after what happened last year with the Cubs and their awful first half and the way they took off in the second half, I think a lot of people were kind of hoping that the Cubs would kind of distance themselves early. And we've talked about that before, how we had hoped that the Cubs would distance themselves a little earlier, or at least, after the All-Star break, they built up a 4.5 game lead, which is decent, but they really just can't seem to make the rest of the division go away.
Yeah, no, they can't. And I don't know. The Cubs haven't been fantastic, but yeah, that doesn't necessarily discredit how strong Milwaukee and St. Louis have been this year. It's been a really, really tough division. And clearly, I think all three of these teams at this point are, I would say Milwaukee and St. Louis right now are on pace to win 88 to 91 games. The Cubs are probably at 93, 94, something like that. It's going to be tight. At this point, I don't think you can hope for a massive turnaround. I think you can just hope for more of maybe the same. The Cubs keep squeaking out wins and keep going on. And, if they can split the series with Milwaukee and same thing, we got one more series with St. Louis, two more with Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they've got two series against Milwaukee, pretty much not totally back to back. It's three in Milwaukee, four in Washington, then three at home with Milwaukee. So that stretch is coming up here, I guess, in a little bit. They've got Detroit the next two. Back home, four for Cincinnati, three with the Mets. So, a way that you can build up a little bit of a lead there if you can start winning. The Cardinals have a little bit of a tougher schedule than the Cubs and Brewers do. But really, this is another situation of the Cubs just have to take advantage of the bad teams on the schedule, because they do still have that road trip where they go to Atlanta for one, then Philadelphia for three, then Milwaukee for three, then Washington for four. Then back home against Milwaukee for three. They have three left with Arizona. They have three left at home with St. Louis to finish the season. So they still do have games that are tough on the schedule.
Yeah. No, there's definitely going to be some tough roads ahead, especially, if the Cubs aren't going to help themselves out and score runs. Kudos to the pitching. You got to tip your hat off. The Cubs pitching has been really solid, at least for this Pittsburgh series. Outside of Chatwood, that wasn't the worst Chatwood start we'd seen, but that was also very, very typical of Tyler Chatwood. So, I don't know. Thank God that Cole Hamels, John Lester, and Kyle Hendricks have recently been pitching better. We'll see if John Lester can keep that trend going. But if the pitching can, at least those three guys, if those guys can hold it together and the Cubs can just score more than one run a game, I think we'll be okay. But, not good for my pressure, Ryan, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Real quick before we go, I didn't put this down as a major topic, but we should probably mention it. With Mike Montgomery on the DL, assuming he misses at least one more start, who do you go with? I don't think you can go with Tyler Chatwood at this point. Are we talking bullpen game, or I guess Dwayne Underwood? He started the same day at AAA, so he could be an option if the Cubs decide to go to him.
I say at this point, Tyler Chatwood probably should be put back in the rotation, just because the guy needs to work through some of his issues. He has no control on the mound right now. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what, but it's not there. I think Dwayne Underwood's your clear-cut guy to get him in there. He had a good solid start. I think he went like five innings in his one game he started.
Yeah, it was four innings. He struggled with his command first inning allowed a run. I think he walked the bases loaded or walked a bunch of guys through 40 pitches. But after that, he threw three innings and was really good and settled down, was missing bats. And I think he only came out because the Cubs were trailing and they had a point where they were pinch hitting for the pitcher. But he probably could have gone another inning. So, yeah, I think it's reasonable to say, hey, maybe give this kid one more shot and see if he can fill in. It's another kind of like you don't want to hang your hat on guys like Jason Vosler and Dwayne Underwood coming up and giving you a shot in the arm. But that's kind of where we are with this. So, yeah, that's what I would do if it were my decision. Of course, I'm not running the Cubs. So I think they would the likely thing is they'll probably go with like Jesse Chavez for two or three innings and then
Jorge De La Rosa
for a couple. Yeah. But that's another thing that like you have to plan ahead on that because you can't just like pitch these guys the next few days if you're going to do that. So yeah, I would think that if you're going to plan ahead, that would be announced soon.
Yeah. Those were the two guys I'd say could split a game, maybe cover four, five innings collectively. Maybe that's the option. I think that's probably something they'd look into if Dwayne Underwood, James Norwood come up again and struggle a little bit, then yeah, maybe you're like, okay, well, maybe the next time the rotation spot, we let Jesse and Chavez and Del Rosa handle a game or something like that. You know, there's options. The thing is, you're worried about, like, you don't want to blow this bullpen up to smithereens just to make it to the postseason. You know, like, you want to make sure you can use these guys once you get to the postseason. The Cubs are in a spot where they have some starters. It's just, you know, the confidence level is not very high in them, and they don't have any more games to really just throw away.
Right. Yeah, well, if you don't like when the Cubs are off like today, the good news is they don't have another off day until September 13th. Yeah. But the bad news is they don't have another off day until September 13th. So for tomorrow's podcast, send us your questions. We'll do one more mailbag podcast. And we'll try and do our best to answer them and fill the void a little bit heading into tomorrow night's Cubs game against the Tigers.
Also, shout out to the White Sox for calling up Michael Kopech finally. Only took you 3 months too late, but hey, shout out to them.
Yeah, yeah, good for them calling up a pitcher that's probably going to help them finish in fourth place.
Yeah, congrats. Lock it down.